You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Welcome to Tigers in 20, a Go Tigers 247 audio podcast. Your one-stop shop for all things University of Memphis Tigers athletics. Here are your hosts, founder of Go Tigers 247, Brooks Hansen, and lead writer for Go Tigers 247, Christian Fowler.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode. I'm your host, Christian Fowler, and joining me, as always, is Go Tigers 247 founder, Brooks Hansen, and Go Tigers 247 digital content creator, Kenny Stubblefield. And guys, today we are going to start with football. We're going to talk about the current state of the Memphis football program, give an outlook for the next couple weeks and what it looks like once the season resumes. We'll talk a little bit about potential replacement dates for the Memphis-Houston game. Then we'll get into some basketball recruiting towards the end. But as I said, we're starting with football. If you missed the news, you must live under a rock. Memphis's game that was scheduled for this Friday against Houston was canceled on Saturday. Football activities were put on pause on Friday. So it was a busy weekend for Memphis football and not in a positive direction necessarily. But guys, there seems to be a lot of surprise that this happened. Why is it not surprising?
Why would it be surprising? I mean, we're in the middle of a pandemic, and I mean, you look across the country, look at football programs that haven't even stepped foot on the field, haven't traveled, haven't played other teams. They're having outbreaks. You look almost everywhere where there's an uptick in activity, where there's face-to-face contact with individuals, and there's outbreaks. It happens. It's just like living in a world when we're in flu season. It just spreads. It is what it is. It's going to happen. It's not if, but when. So, you know, whether it be a damn, you know, tanker truck or a fire truck or, an 18-wheeler or like a Dane Cook dump truck with mattresses in the back with people rolling around in it. I don't care what in the world was involved here. It could be just regular day-to-day activities that causes an outbreak, a spread of the virus within the program. The reality was this was always going to happen at some point. So Memphis went into that Arkansas State game down some guys. I mean, you saw what, four or five guys sidelined going into that game from the secondary alone. And then some guys that weren't even in the two deep that were still not sure where they were. So Memphis went into that game with some guys in quarantine and were acting like it was like, all of a sudden, they went from zero to some massive outbreak. No, this has been a slow, steady thing. It's going to happen. And then flip the coin to the other side. Arkansas State, in their game after against Memphis the next weekend, they go into that game. And right before, they're two deep, is missing 13 guys. 13 guys from Arkansas State that played the week prior against Memphis were missing from the roster because of quarantine. If that doesn't speak to just common outbreak within programs that are doing normal day-to-day business as an athletic program, then I don't know what does. It's just going to happen. Am I crazy? Like, y'all disagree?
No, not at all. And as we typically do, I think it's kind of time to steer this narrative in a different direction. I think everyone's tired of hearing about what caused it and what happened and everything in that, you kind of in that narrative, and move on to what this means, because Memphis is missing a game right now. Obviously, they plan on rescheduling at some point. But this was a big opportunity for them. As we saw in the AP Top 25, they're number 16 team in the country. The Houston game was a big opportunity for them in the conference opener to get their first conference win and potentially continue to move up in the top 25. So they are missing a big game. Let's just call it is what it is. It's unfortunate for the players and the staff. I know they were looking forward to this game as a big opportunity to play a talented Houston team at home early in the season and kind of build momentum towards UTSA. Now you have football activities paused, no practice, not exactly sure when they're going to resume yet, and then they go to UTSA for their first road game next week after obviously not playing on Friday, September 18th. So it does suck for them. Obviously, it's tough to have a game scheduled that you have to miss, especially a conference opener. So now it's time to regroup. Ryan Silverfield has been facing adversity since day one. This is kind of just another little bit of adversity he's having to overcome. And it's certainly not going to be easy. Like I said, to have everybody focused at a certain point, play a game, win, look at expectations toward the next week, get everything shut down, and then have to regroup, remotivate, get everything back together, and then prepare to face a different team on the road after only playing one game. So now, instead of getting that 1 week bye that we thought was going to be huge for them to kind of clean up what they had to clean up from Arkansas State, they now get a 2 week bye with a lot less practice mixed in between. So it's a difficult situation. This is what we're looking at for college football this year. It shouldn't surprise anybody. It's what's going to happen. 90 to 100 college players on every team without a bubble. It's going to be almost impossible to stop outbreaks on teams. So this is college football in the COVID era. It's going to be tough. It's not going to be easy. But fortunately, they knew that coming into the season. They knew it wasn't going to be a cakewalk. They knew they weren't going to play every game when it was scheduled. So this is just another bit of adversity they have to overcome, and you have to get your guys ready, motivate, clean up what you have to clean up, and get ready for your first road game of the year.
Well, I mean, if we're talking about what this means and like what the actual result of this is, I mean, this is a weird way to look at it, and it's not necessarily ideal. The ideal situation would be for nobody to actually come down with it, but that's not happening. This is not an ideal world or an ideal situation. But the reality now is that approximately a quarter of Memphis's meaningful roster has an antigen for COVID. They actually have a temporary immunity to COVID. So, I mean, it's not ideal, but that's one way to look at it, is that you've got kind of a quarter of your roster out of the way so that you can clear some room for them the rest of the season. But the other thing it does is, like, honestly, I think that Houston game was too early in the year for Memphis. Like, looking at the defensive effort against Arkansas State, nothing again. Yeah, like, they have some kinks to work out. They need to get back into real game reps, real time against other players. They need to work out some kinks in their schemes. They needed that. I mean, let's just call it what it is. Like, that is danger zone for Memphis going in week two after a 1 week bye against Houston, and not really having the time to work out all of the issues with, you know, timing on offense, defensive schemes, you know, what are they doing? But, you know, now they push it back later in the season. They have more time to work on that. They can get back on the practice field. They didn't have a ton of time to prepare leading up to the start of the season as it is. So I think that's also a positive for this Memphis team. So that's the only thing you can do in a situation like this, is just try to look at all of the positives, try to spin it as much as you can, and move forward. You just control what you can control, try to get it back in check, and move forward.
Yeah, and I think that's a great outlook, because, as I mentioned, you're always going to be hyped for a conference opener, especially when it's at home. So I know they were ready for that, but were they really ready for that is also a very good question. Now you have another inferior opponent in UTSA, another opportunity to go clean up your game. And, oh, by the way, that Arkansas State team that they beat by 13 points was down 13 players and just went and beat a Power 5 team on the road. Kansas State isn't the most talented team in the country by any means, but you know, for Arkansas State to go beat a Power 5 team is big for them, and it shows that they are a formidable program and that they were a tougher matchup than some people may have thought for Memphis. But yeah, Brooks, like you mentioned, another opportunity to go play an inferior opponent in a game that you should pretty easily win, even though it is your first road game of the season. And then you go straight into SMU. You've got a huge, now your conference opener is one of the top, I think it was listed as a top 15 game in college football this season by 247 Sports. So it's a big game. That's going to be your conference opener now in a road matchup against arguably the best offense in the conference. And then you come home and play UCF. So after that UTSA game, Memphis has to be ready. So it does give them a couple more weeks to prepare, to get ready for conference play, play against an inferior opponent that they should be able to work out some of those kinks you were talking about with, and just clean everything up overall before they go on that two-game gauntlet, which is going to be pretty big for the season.
So when do we do this Houston game? Like, where does it fit? What makes the most sense?
So while everybody else was worried about, you know, the factors that went into it and everything else, I, as I said earlier, kind of shifted directions and went into a different direction with it and tried to dig as much as I could on replacement dates, because obviously that plays a big part into the season. Initially on Saturday, I was told by a source very close to the program that the two dates being looked at, or two potential times being looked at, was September 25th, which is the UTSA game, and then after the Tulane game, which the Tulane game is the last game of the season. I don't think it's going to be the UTSA week. I don't think it's going to be September 25th. I think they're going to keep that game on schedule, and I think every sign right now points towards the week after the Tulane game in early December, which I believe was supposed to be the conference championship game. I'm not 100% on that. That could be the week after that. But it's a little, it's going to be in December now. So if the conference championship is that next week or the 12th, everything gets a little more crunched together. I'm not sure what that does for the conference schedule necessarily. If they change some things around, we'll have to wait and see on that. But I fully expect the Memphis Houston game to now be Memphis's last game of the season after the Tulane game. So it'll be a good way to finish the season for them. Houston is typically towards the back half of the schedule anyway. And if they are battling for a spot in the division and they need a game to win the division and come out and go into the conference championship, that Houston game could actually end up being a huge deciding factor for the AAC West.
Well, I think we've killed the talk of Houston, of COVID, within football. I mean,
Can I say one thing real quick?
I'm a little tired.
Can I say,
Kenny?
Let me say just.
I just said I'm tired. I'm tired of it.
I just want to say one thing.
I'm kidding. You can talk. Welcome to the show, thank Kenny.
You. Hey,
Kenny's here.
Do I have
everybody.
A song? Do I have a song?
No.
It's Kenny.
Just talk.
No, I'm just playing. Yeah, you know, here's the thing, and I love what Christian said at the beginning of the show, talking about changing the narrative and pushing it forward. You know, one of the things that is unique to Go Tigers 247 compared to a lot of the other news organizations in the city is that you've got three guys who are from Memphis, who have grown up here, who know the people, who are a part of this city and a part of the people. And, you know, I think it's a very real and relevant thing to say, to just, Brooks says this almost weekly, especially when there's kind of an uproar, especially on our boards. But if there's an uproar in the Twitter world or anything like that, regarding the University of Memphis, is just to sit down and calm down, just sit back and relax, like just relax. And I think that, you know, that's the biggest thing that I would say to everybody right now is just take a break and relax. The sky is not falling here. And I think that is something that we as Memphians have to remember about sports and about our sports programs, is that we are, and I think every fan base is this way, but for some reason it feels a little bit more intense here. Maybe it's because I live here, but it feels like to me that there's a level of the sky is falling when things like, you know, COVID situation happens with the team, or even down to the lower level of how the defense looked in the first possession of the first game of the year within a new system. And I think that, you know, with everything that's happening in the world and with everything that's going on, is let's take a step back and believe the best about how these things are going to play out, that the sky is not falling, that every program is going to experience the this last week that the Tigers have experienced, every program in the country. You can see it all over the news today, how many big time programs are experiencing incredible outbreaks of COVID within their department or within their team. These things are going to happen. And so not only are we going to get past it, the team is going to be, they're going to know how to handle it moving forward. They're going to be healthier. And number two, it's going to give the opportunity for them to get better at their game and get better within their systems. And so, yeah, I'm going to say it just like how Brooke says it, man. Let's just take a break. Let's calm down. And let's start looking forward instead of believing the worst and that the sky is falling down around the University of Memphis.
That's a tremendous point. And let's just remember, a month ago, we weren't even sure if we were going to have a college football season. We weren't even sure if we were going to be able to cover University of Memphis games. We weren't even sure if fans were going to be allowed in stands. And guess what? Things are looking up, people. So let's just, in Kenny's words this week, chill out. Let's just take a step back and relax. And I think that is the perfect time for us to take a quick little break, hear from our sponsors, and come back on the other side, talk a little basketball recruiting, maybe a little basketball, just college basketball talk in general, and then wrap this thing up. So stay tuned.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, welcome back, everybody. So now let's talk a little bit about top list edits, recruiting. We were joking in the break about the way that players do their top list nowadays, and it's so funny. Like, you see some dudes, they're just like straight to business. Like, you know, Jordan Nesbitt, he has not said a single word on hardly anything. He hadn't even really released list, and now he's cut into a top three. We'll get to that in a minute. But then you have on the other side, you have a guy like Debo Coleman, who apparently just now is starting his recruiting process and is making a list of like 432 teams. He's even got D2 and NAIA schools on his list. But for real, Christian, Devo just cut his list down and released a top 11. What do those teams look like? What, you know, where's Memphis fit in?
Yeah, I kind of agree with your sentiment on dropping top lists. And like you said, I enjoy the guys that are just like, you don't even know it's coming, and they immediately drop a top five, and you're like, oh, wow, this is all the schools that are left from his 35 offers. Now, the kids that go like top 20, top 15, top 8, top 5, and then final 3, it's just like, okay, this is way too much to keep up with. But yeah, as you mentioned, Debo Coleman dropped his top 11. Obviously, Memphis was included. We know there are a lot of deep relationships there between Memphis and Debo Coleman. But with this many schools involved in his recruitment, it kind of makes you think, okay, is this something that's getting slow played? Is he one of those kids that's going to wait till very last minute, May or June?
It's going to be a bit.
It's going to be a while. So he's probably not on the front of the priority list right now. He's probably a little bit more on the back burner with this many schools involved. But Memphis does have another target in four-star Jordan Nesbitt, a guy that we all three have been extremely high on since Memphis got involved. Looks like he's very close to making a decision. And inside the next month, he's planning on making a commitment. So that's obviously one of Memphis's top priorities. We know they're deep. They did get involved a little bit late, but made up a lot of ground. We've talked about it multiple times on the VIP boards, podcast articles, whatever it is. And when we've talked or written about Jordan Nesbitt, talked about how well Memphis's staff has gotten involved, made themselves a legitimate player in his recruitment. And then coming down the final stretch, they obviously have an opportunity to be the school that he chooses to play his college ball at.
Yeah, so rewinding a little bit to Debo, I think you're spot on. I think, you know, Memphis obviously likes Debo, and they have a relationship with Debo. They've been recruiting him for a while, but, you know, Debo and Jordan Nesbitt are very similar, and I think Jordan Nesbitt deciding on October the 1st, you know, cutting his list down over the next week and a half or so, deciding on his birthday at the beginning of October, it puts a you know, kind of a priority on Jordan Nesbitt in that position. So I think it will be a while, and I think just because of the way that Memphis has prioritized him, I think other schools are trying to capitalize on that. I do know that from people close to the Ole Miss program that they feel really good about where they sit with Debo Coleman. So let's just say, you know, Memphis misses on their top priority at that spot in Jordan Nesbitt, and they have to turn to Debo Coleman or somebody else. They obviously have to shift priority, reinvest time in them, and make up ground where they kind of left off, and let other schools prioritize and make up ground. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with him. I think the obvious thing, and the biggest takeaway from talking about these two guys, is that if Memphis lands Jordan Nesbitt, you can pretty much write off Debo Coleman. So on to Jordan. Yeah, I mean, he's deciding in the next 2.5 weeks. We've talked extensively about Jordan Nesbitt and where Memphis fits. We've already released his top 3 in VIP. So, you know, if you want to know those 3 schools, obviously by us talking about it, we're kind of giving away that Memphis will be in there. But there's additional stuff in that kind of gives an idea of what the order is right now, where Memphis is and what kind of spot they're in. But obviously coming down the stretch, Memphis has prioritized him heavily, and, you know, they will continue to do that up until his decision date. And so that's got to leave you feeling pretty good about how they feel about him. So we'll see. Another guy, though, that Memphis has prioritized.
Before you move on,
yeah.
Before you move on, Brooks, I have a question for you.
Shoot.
And this is kind of going back to the discussion about recruiting of players and how they drop their top 20, top 15s to, then you've got a guy like Jordan who's top 3, then he's going to announce. I'm not asking you to describe how the Tigers are recruiting both Jordan and Debo, But in your experience in recruitment and those kinds of things, when a player is someone who is about to make a decision, and then you've got a player who's looks like it's going to be a long play kind of a situation in terms of his decision, what's the recruitment look like there for a team, like for the coaching staff? Like, what are they doing?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if you're prioritizing a guy, you're doing things like trying to push up his decision. You're trying to move it closer to current day. You want them deciding in your favor closer to today's date than further away. And if you're putting a guy as maybe your second, third, fourth priority, you are trying to push him further away in his decision. You're trying to say, take your time, evaluate your options, let us continue building a relationship. And you treat the guys the same way. It's just in your pitch. You know, when you are talking to your A number one, the guy you want more than anybody, it's let's get this done. Let's get it done today. Like, you know, you love us. We have a great relationship. We fit. Your style of play fits our style of play. You know what we do. Our stage is as big as any of the other options as you got. Let's get it done. And that's completely different than what you're doing with a guy that's further down the list. So I think that's the biggest thing. But you treat those relationships the same way. It's just in your pitch. It's just small, subtle changes that allow you to tell a guy like a Jordan Nesbitt, let's go. Get it done. Let's go. Go ahead and get your spot. Go ahead and fill that seat. We got 13 spots. You get yours. So does that answer your question?
That's a perfect answer. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. So moving on, another priority, CMA Umide. This hasn't been put out anywhere. We put it out in VIP, but I'll just say that for those listening who are not VIP members, you might want to go check out VIP. Because Jordan Nesbitt may not be the only guy that is making his commitment known relatively soon. So just, you know, Memphis has obviously put a ton of time and effort in there. You see a ton of his tweets. He retweets. There's a ton of Providence Friar blogs and edits guys that tweet him edits, and he retweets it. So you can see they're in there. Kansas is a recent offer. So there are schools at play there that are trying to make plays, but Memphis, again, has invested a lot of time and effort into building that relationship. So stay tuned on Sam as well. Just keep your ear to the ground. Don't be shocked. So if you don't subscribe to VIP, and one day in the near future, if you wake up and suddenly see that Sam Ayomide is, you know, maybe deciding or about to announce, or maybe has announced out of nowhere, you shouldn't be shocked. You should have signed up. So
that's Brooks. I'm going to channel.
Yeah.
I'm going to channel some conversations that are probably happening about Sam Ayomide right now from Tiger fans. Okay. But Brooks, this guy he's a three-star. He's nationally a 148th in the country. Like, why are the Tigers going after him?
I've got two words. Josh Minot. That's it. That's all I need to tell you. Memphis evaluated Josh Minot and said, this guy is big time. This guy fits. This guy is a really, really good player. This guy is top 35 level in our eyes. And guess what? He committed to Memphis. And it wasn't because he committed to Memphis. It had nothing to do with that. It had everything to do with evaluation of film, the ability to see him on the summer circuit, on streams. Now he is a top 35 player. Pretty crazy, right? You look at Josh Minot's offer list. Texas, Maryland, Memphis. I mean, the list goes FSU. FSU is like one of the hottest teams in the country right now. They're cherry picking anybody they want, it feels like. And they wanted Josh Minot. They were heavily prioritizing him. And then you go over to Sam Amede. Man, Kansas wants this dude. Kansas, the Kansas that is known for developing bigs, the Kansas that has Huddy, you know, is their strength and conditioning coach that's known for developing bigs and their bodies. Joel Embiid, Kansas. Azubuike, Kansas. Like the pedigree big man school. They want him. And they've offered him. You're telling me that you somehow think he's chopped liver and they want him? I would say that, you know, look at Memphis's track record. Look at Kansas's track record. If they want him, if they're evaluating him and prioritizing him like that, he's got to be good. Just because his rankings don't reflect that does not mean that that's the truth. Because here's the thing. 2020 is the weirdest year on the face of the planet. Probably the weirdest year we will ever see, knock on wood. I hope so. But the rankings are weird. There was no spring evaluation. There's no summer evaluation. Sam, you know, up in Philly, their AAU season got canceled. They've only had like a few small closed combine type of situations, and even he has not played in them. So just the lack of exposure on, you know, national eyes from a recruiting perspective, they haven't been on them. So how can you rank a guy in the top 50, top 40 if you haven't seen him? You can't.
Yeah.
That's it.
And something so interesting, and we talk about nuances of recruiting all the time. It's something that gets brought up almost on a weekly basis on the podcast. And another nuance of recruiting that to me is always very interesting are the rankings and how they are viewed from a national perspective, because rankings are great. They give us a basis for what players are, for what they can be expected to do by the time they get to a certain point in their career. So I think recruiting rankings are an incredible tool. Obviously, they're very used around the country, not just by consumers, but by coaching staffs as well. So they're a very good tool for recruiting. But something very important to remember about them is they are not the end-all be-all, because they are controlled by humans, and humans are imperfect. And that's something that really can't be disputed. And something that's also very interesting to me is staffs that can evaluate talent early. That's always been something that I pay attention to, because it really shows you how good a staff is at looking at a player, watching his film, seeing him in person, and immediately identifying, okay, this guy fits with us, or he's a talented player, but he doesn't really fit what we want to do. So I love watching it. Mike Norvell was an incredible identifier of talent in his time at Memphis. You look at some of the guys that he started recruiting early and then ended up in SEC schools or Power 5 schools because Mike Norvell and his staff are the team that exposed them and the coaching staff that exposed them. And now you're seeing Memphis's basketball staff do that. Obviously, Brooks, the example you mentioned, Josh Minot, wasn't getting a lot of love on a national basis as far as recruiting ranking went, but he was getting the offers. People obviously saw what he was doing. And Memphis was one of the first schools that went to him and prioritized him. And then you see what happens now with him once he's committed and guys start paying attention to him, going back, watching his film. And I think regardless of where Sam Amede goes, if it's Providence, Kansas, Memphis, any other school, once he's committed and the eyes go on him from national guys and they start watching his film again and go back and do their due diligence, I think he skyrockets up the rankings too. And I'm not saying that just because he's a high-priority Memphis target. Like I said, wherever he goes, I think that's the case with him. Wherever he commits, when he commits, I think he shoots up the rankings. So that's something we have to always remember. There's a lot of nuances in recruiting. Recruiting rankings are just another one of them. And they're obviously, you know, subject to change at all times. So very interesting if you pay attention, if you watch, and if you see where these coaching staffs are plucking players from or picking players from, and then to see them shoot up the rankings once they are committed to a school or recruiting analysts start paying attention. So just another little nuance that I find very interesting that I always try to monitor.
Well, another interesting thing that just came out today, we are recording on a Tuesday evening, is that class of 2021 point guard Carter Witt is withdrawing from Brewster Academy. and appears that he plans to enroll mid-season at a college. And yes, as of today, more than likely, Carter Witt is headed to Nebraska, barring some crazy change. It's a very interesting development. Carter is obviously a guy playing for Team Thad. The staff has developed a relationship with and has prioritized since moving on from Kennedy Chandler quite a while ago and JD Davison more recently. The good news for Memphis is that they don't absolutely have to have a point guard. But the other good news is that they have other guys that they have right behind him on that priority list. But definitely an interesting decision because for me personally, like Carter Witt's a guy, his body's not 100% college ready. You know, the more time that he has to physically develop and get ready for college, the better, and to enroll early, I don't know. I mean, maybe he'll do great. I just don't necessarily know that Nebraska and that fit within that conference are a great style and fit for him. I could be wrong. But go get you some cornbread girls, bud. I think that's I mean, I don't really know what else to say about that, but you know, Memphis obviously did want Carter, but it looks as of today like they are going to miss. So, guys, you got anything else you want to talk about? Any rants you want to go on today? All right. Silence is a no. In that case, that's a wrap.
Thank you for listening to Tigers in 20. If you enjoyed this episode, we would love for you to leave a comment and a rating wherever you download your podcasts. If you are interested in daily content all about the University of Memphis athletic program, please hop over to www.gotigers247.com. Articles are uploaded daily, and you can join the Go Tigers 247 family by signing up for the VIP membership for even more behind-the-scenes information.
Streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.